only Son, forgiven forever, a new life's begun. Christ was born in a manger, he lived and he died for me. And forgiven forever, the grave has no power. Forgiven forever, from this very hour, and someday in heaven, my crown's at his feet I'll breathe.
Have you ever had something complicated in your mind but was really very easy to do? My wife and I, last year, we switched our phone service to another phone company. And what happened is they set up sort of a kind of a phone company answering box for us. And I remember that they had that, you know, and people would call in and said, Is that your home? Is this your home? And I knew I had to personalize it, but it seemed complicated to me. You know, I was trying to figure out how to do this, and I'm not a computer guru or anything, as many of you know. In fact, Brother Shepherd told me this morning, he said, "Leave the equipment alone, Pastor." Okay. But I remember trying to, you know, and I kept thinking, "No, I need to change that, and I don't know how to do it," and it just seemed so complicated, you know, and I had to read this, and I had to read that, and Brother Sampson said, "You know, your only problem is you just never read the instructions." And I said, "Well, that's the way I was raised. You look at the pictures, if you don't have any pictures, just don't worry about it then, you know." But it was complicated in my mind. I couldn't figure it out until I decided, I said, you know, this week I'm going to figure it out. And so I sat down and I literally read the instructions. And here's what it says. Call this number and follow the directions. You guys ever had something like that happen? Some of you are sitting there so proper, you know, like, no, I'm not that stupid. But you know, sometimes we make things complicated in our mind that just aren't complicated. They're just not. And when it comes to forgiveness with God, that is so much like humanity. We make things more complicated than they really are. In fact, I want to tell you this. The easiest thing you can do as a believer or as a non-believer is to get forgiveness with God. It's the easiest thing. So why do we struggle with it? Why do we have such a hard time with it? Why is it that we struggle with forgiveness? It's because we're selfish. Because our nature is, we have too much pride. We have too much on the inside that we're unwilling to get forgiveness because we don't want to admit some things in our life. We're self-righteous. We would rather work to get forgiven than ask for forgiveness. We would rather do a whole bunch of stuff to bargain forgiveness rather than ask forgiveness. This passage here is a classic on forgiveness. Honestly, knowing God wanted me to preach on this message this morning and in the middle of stewardship days, and you might say, how does this connect it with our stewardship? Your life is something God gives to you to manage. Your Christian life is that which God gives to you when the moment you trust Christ as Savior, you're given a new life and you're to manage that life. And forgiveness is a part of that management. And yet, with all of that in mind, this passage, as I begin to pray through and read through and pour through all the passages, God kept driving me back to Psalm 51. Because Psalm 51 just answers everything about forgiveness for us. It is an amazing passage. The truth of the matter is, David now had sinned with Bathsheba. And God had sent Nathan the prophet to rebuke him, and David had been carrying a guilt for a long time over his sin. David was a mighty man. I love David's life. He's my hero in the Bible. I was asking my wife this morning, and she says, you always ask me these music questions. I was thinking about David and reading through the psalm and studying it out this week and just praying over and pouring over this passage. And I began to think, how did David write this? These are songs. How did he really put it into words? And what did he do? And how did he do that? He was in the palace. He was the king. What did he go? Kind of retreat back into the palace bedroom and pull out the old harp and begin to play? I don't know how he did that. But he was a man that was tender, but tough. And here in this passage, David was writing as the prophet Nathan rebuked him for his sin. And David did the simplest thing you could possibly do. And every one of us need to know what that is. We need to visit this place regularly in our life. Forgiveness. You need forgiveness all the time. All the time. It's amazing to me, though, how many people just don't want to admit they need forgiveness. And I'm talking with God. Most people say, you know, met a lady outdoor knocking yesterday. I knocked on her door. I was walking, you know, and I knocked on her door, and she came to the door, and she was a senior lady, and we began to visit, and she was telling me about her church background just a little bit and everything, and here's what she said. I said, oh, so do you go to such and such a church here in town? And here's what she said to me. She said, no, I haven't gone to any church in years. And here's what she said, because I don't feel guilty. Whoa, she says, we're good people. Whoa, what do you mean? And so we talked a little bit, and I wasn't there to, you know, necessarily preach to her, but I wanted to. But it was kind of between a screen door, you know, and she was kind of on the other side and took the track and stepped back. But here's my point. Is she a sinner? Does she need forgiveness? Do you need forgiveness? Yes. We're dealing with this passage of Scripture that's intensely practical. Because I must tell you that you're going to need this every day. Not just on Sunday and not just, you know, next week or next year, but you're going to need it all your life. Paul had to have it. David had to have it. Peter had to have it. I mean, you read all through the Scriptures, every man of God, every child of God have regularly visited this place where David is. Now, most have probably never gone as far as David has gone. David is now a murderer, an adulterer. David had gone, he had done a lot of things at this point. I mean, he had wrecked his life and ruined his kingdom now, and he was going to lose everything that he had lived his whole life for. But David was never too proud as the king to go to the real king. And that's what I want us to look at. There are three steps I find here. These three steps address where we are and what we have to do. And step number one, you can write this down. There must be an admission of guilt or wrongdoing, if you would. An admission. I've done wrong. You see, our problem is we have a hard time with accepting I've done wrong. I mean, it's so easy for us to blame everybody else. And it's so easy to blame our circumstances. Well, you see, the economy is so bad. I mean, I have nothing. What else can I do? It's easy to blame, you know, our kids. You know, have you ever noticed how parents sometimes are really good at this? I know I used to do this sometimes. In the flesh, I'd say, well, if it weren't for my kids, I wouldn't have done that. God doesn't give us a pass. God wants us to realize that the truth of the matter is that we're just sinners. We come into this world with a sin nature. That's what David said. He was shapen in iniquity. You see, we come here, we're all sinners, and we have to admit that we are sinners, that we've done wrong, that no matter how, even man at his best state, we're still sinners. So what David does then is he appeals to God for mercy. In verse 1, we find that's what he comes to God for. He says, have mercy upon me, O God. Have mercy. Because you see, the truth of the matter is forgiveness, write this one down, is a choice. Is a choice for both parties. In other words, if you're going to have forgiveness, and let me define forgiveness for you so you can grab a hold of it and understand what it is. Because I'm looking at some people today right now, you struggle with forgiveness. I know you do because it's human nature. But forgiveness is to release someone of wrong. That's what it means. It's a release of someone who has done wrong. And what David is saying is David is saying, God, I want you to make a choice based on your mercy that, dear God, that you would forgive me. That's what David is saying. He's appealing to God to release the wrong, and he uses that based on the loving kindness of God. The loving kindness is that which is based on relationship. In other words, that because David had a relationship with God, David says that, God, you have obligated yourself that you're going to forgive me. That, Lord, I know you, and you're my Savior, and you're my Lord. And David says, God, I know that I've done wrong. I know that I've murdered someone. I know that I've taken a man's wife. And I know I've done all of these awful things. And God, because you're merciful, and because you're gracious, and because you're loving, and because you're my Savior, I ask you to forgive me. That's what David is saying in this passage. And this is where we are. For those of us who know Jesus Christ as Savior, we have an obligation to go to God, and God is obligated to forgive us when we ask. 1 John 1:9 is still in the Bible. It says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God wants to forgive every one of us. God wants us to realize that, but it's based on His mercy. Ephesians 2 says it like this, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love, wherewith He had loved us. Loving kindness then has that obligatory relationship that God, when I go to God, God forgives me. And keep this in mind, that God is the judge of all the earth. Psalm 7 says, God judges the righteous and God is angry with the wicked every day. But can I remind you that there's forgiveness with God, and God offers forgiveness. Now, for the person who does not know Christ, forgiveness begins at the cross. That when a man comes to Him and receives Him as Savior, that he can be forgiven, not based on his goodness, not based on being a church member, not based on the fact that he took First Communion, but based on the fact that he accepted the perfect, finished work of Jesus Christ who died on the cross. I'm here to tell you today, God loves you and He died for you. Isn't it a blessing to know that you can receive Him? God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God will in no wise cast out anyone who will come to Him. And see, the truth matters, we've complicated the matter, because rather than going to God and saying, admitting that we're sinners and admitting we've done wrong, we want to try to bypass that by saying something like, well, you know, I'll just be a good person from now on. Well, I'll just do this, sir. Or, well, you know, I'll join 10 churches and maybe somehow or another one of those churches will cover me. No, we do it because we just simply have to admit we're wrong and we appeal to God's mercy. Second of all, He applies for cleansing. Verse number 2, the Bible says, to blot out my transgressions. He says to God, I need your cleansing. And by the way, can I point this out to you? Cleansing comes from God. Are you following me? It doesn't come from a man. You can come and confess your sins to me if you want, but I can't pardon your sin. You can confess to your wife or some person that you might have a lot of trust in. They can't pardon you. The only one that can is God Himself. David says, blot out my transgressions. I need cleansing. Lord, it's not just, I don't want to just, you know, bring the dirty glass, Lord, but I want the glass clean. I don't want to bring a dirty vessel my life. I want it clean, Lord. I want my conscience relieved. David carried this sin in his life for nearly a year before he came to God. And in verse 3, the Bible said he accepts responsibility for his sin. He said, notice in verse 3, for I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. He does not dismiss it. You don't find anywhere where he tries to point it out to somebody else at this point. Now we're at forgiveness time. This is now at a time that's critical. And the Bible says he uses that. He accepts responsibility, because in these verses, he uses three types of words for the same thing, for sin. He uses the word, for example, he uses the word transgression, which means he overstepped God's boundaries. That's the transgression, to step over what God has established. Hey, he was a king. Now, can I remind you of this? As a king, he was powerful in the kingdom. He could say, off with his head. Bring me the money. I want the land. He had that kind of power. Who placed David as a king? God put him there. And God had trusted David with this power and with this authority. And David had this authority, and he could do whatever he wanted. He was the king, and they had to bow to him, and they did. But when he sinned, he overstepped his bounds. That's called transgression. He overstepped his authority, and he had no right to do that. And David said, you know, he speaks of his transgression and he speaks of his iniquity, which means his rebellion to God. He rejected God's laws. And the word sin is the breaking of the law. He uses these words, and David is simply saying this: God, I'm claiming responsibility for my sin because it's ever before me. When I was a kid, I got the wonderful privilege of having poor eyesight. I had to wear glasses. And not only was I the shortest kid in the class when I was in the second grade, but I was also the kid that had the biggest glasses in the second grade. I mean, you guys, some of you are too young to remember this, but you guys remember the Coca-Cola bottles that were thick. I mean, they made Coke in thick Coke. My glasses looked like they were made out of Coca-Cola bottles. And one of the things that I struggled with in having those glasses, and I remember that my glasses, those Coca-Cola bottles, and they had the ring, you know, the earpiece went all the way around my ear to keep them on my head. One of the things used to bug me about wearing glasses, and I don't know how you guys who wear glasses, I know that it's somewhat stylish. In my day, it wasn't. There's no style in black glasses like they looked, especially when they were Coke bottle glasses. One of the things that used to bug me is when they got dirty. I used to actually carry a little thing in my pocket that every time my glasses got dirty, I had to wipe them off. It's kind of like when you drive down the road on the windshield and you get a bug that hits the windshield. Have you ever noticed whenever a bug hits the windshield and it slaughters, it's always right at eye view? You ever notice that? Just kind of the way it is, you know? It can't be on my wife's side. It's always got to be right at my eye level. I mean, I can even adjust the seat and somehow the bug moves, still dead, to my eye level. David said that's how sin was for him. My sin is ever before me. It's like the bug on the windshield. I look this way, there it is. I look that way, there it is. Everywhere I go, life was dirty with the sin. And David says, I can't stand it anymore. I've borne it for a year. The God that I used to spend a lot of time with out in the fields with the sheep, that who I attended and sang to and played my harp to, I can't stand it anymore. Lord, I'm wrong, Lord. Please forgive me. And the first step for every person on the planet to get forgiveness with God is, number one, is to admit before God, we're wrong. Why that's so hard, I don't know. But except for the fact we're just sinners. And we don't want to admit we're wrong. But God reminds us that His forgiveness is for everybody, but it starts here. I'll be honest with you, this is bottom line thinking. This is it. But there's a second part of this, a second step. Now we have to admit that we're wrong. What do we do from here? Okay, I'm wrong. Kind of like my wife says, you shouldn't have done that. So, okay, I'm wrong. What's the next thing? Write it down. Step number two. We must acknowledge correction. All right, see, first of all, I admit I'm wrong, but number two is I have to acknowledge correction, okay? If I'm wrong, then I'm wrong. Am I supposed to just leave it there? No, I acknowledge correction. There has to be correction. You know, my dad used to do this every now and then. Maybe some of you, where I grew up, that's just the way we kind of did it. I think all parents did this. My dad would do this. My dad would say, all right, just want to let you know, He called me on the phone. We didn't have cell phones. He called me on the phone, and he says, "When I'm coming home, I'm going to deal with you." Now, here's the thing. I could handle it if he told me that on the spot and did it. It's the time element that bothered me. You guys know what I mean? Because I used to sing, "Jesus, keep me near the cross," during those days. As I'm waiting for my dad to come home, I'm thinking, man, I've got 911 programmed into the phone. I'm ready to go, man. My dad's going to kill me. And when my dad comes home, I said, "Dad, you know, murder is a sin." But my dad says, "You know, you have to be dealt with." And I said, "Yeah, but how about mercy and grace?" But there was a need for correction. And what really used to bother me is when he would do this: "You choose." Don't you just like that? But I knew I needed correction. David is saying that, look, it's not just enough that I say, "Yeah, I know I've done wrong. Now I've got to correct what I've done wrong." That's the next step. So what do we do? Well, letter A is we recognize there's a need for forgiveness. David realized at this point that not just that he had sinned, but that he had sinned against God. It's not the fact that he just failed Bathsheba, or that he failed Uriah, or that he failed his other wives, but that he had sinned against a holy God. You see, all sin is an offense to a holy God. The Bible says in Micah chapter 7, "I will bear the iniquity of the Lord because I have sinned against him. Until he plead my cause and execute judgment for me, he will bring me forth to the light and I shall behold his righteousness." David knew that his need was to go to God and ask God to forgive him. He knew that his sin was against a holy God. He had the need to be forgiven. Ecclesiastes said, "For God will bring every work into judgment, and with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." Acts 17 says this, "Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he received or raised him from the dead." The need was clear. David needed forgiveness. He had to acknowledge that correction, that meant that he didn't say, "Look, I'm a sinner and I guess it's just the way it is. I'm just going to be like this." No, he had to say, "Look, I realize that, God, it's not just that I'm a sinner, but I need to correct my sin problem." And he can't do it on his own. The source of forgiveness is the Lord Jesus Christ. David knew he could go to God. He knew that God would be the one that was ready to forgive him and ready to pardon him. I want to say to you today, God is ready to forgive you right where you are. And by asking for forgiveness is an acknowledgement of correction. It's really sad when someone gets to the point where they think, "I don't need forgiveness. I don't need what you're telling me, Pastor." But can I tell you this? The reason why we need forgiveness, that's the exact reason why Christ came. Amen. Because we do need forgiveness. Paul writes when he says this, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." In other words, if I'm going to have forgiveness, I need Jesus Christ. I need his forgiveness. If you are here without Jesus Christ today, you need his forgiveness. You can't bargain your way into heaven by doing good things. You need to know the one who can forgive you. And the only one is Jesus Christ. Paul writes when he says, "For if when we were enemies, we are reconciled to God by the death of his Son." Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So the first step, step number one, is that I have to admit I'm a sinner. I have to admit I'm wrong. Step number two, have to acknowledge, as the scripture says here, I have to acknowledge the very fact that though I have sinned, and yes, I have, and I know that, I recognize that, but I have to, number two, acknowledge the fact that there needs to be some correction, and that correction has already been done by Jesus Christ by dying on the cross. That's why he did what he did. But then there's step number three. You can write this one down. We need acquittal from the Lord. God will acquit us. That means that God will remove that from us. When you go to court, you're guilty. But when you're acquitted, you're relieved of that wrong. God says, I want to relieve you of wrong. I can relieve you of wrong. Because he's ready to forgive. David shows us how he goes to God. He asks God, and he gives us three requests. Write them down and we'll be done. Request number one, he requests purging, verse 7. Purge me with hyssop. The idea of the purging with hyssop is a ceremonial cleansing at the temple in the Old Testament. That's when they would take and spread sacrificial blood over the altar. And this is all pointing to the blood of Jesus Christ. This all points to our forgiveness. And the Bible says, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. In other words, if I want cleansing, if I want that purging that he's talking about, I'm going to need to be purged by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's not just for salvation, but that's every time I sin, I need to reapplying the blood of Christ in my life. David was asking for God to purge him. David requests, verse number 9, his removal of sin. Deliverance from the infraction or the mark of sin on his life. He says, get rid of everything. I don't want it in my life anymore, Lord. I just want you to cast it as far as the east is from the west. But then verses 10 to 12, he asks for restoration. David wants to restore. And when he does that, the Bible says God gives him a new heart, a new song. He has joy in his heart. He has a new spirit. Renew a right spirit within me. Now let's be real honest with each other today. I want to ask you a question. When's the last time you went to God for forgiveness? If you're like me, right before I came in here. But if you haven't been to the altar, and I'm not necessarily talking about this altar, although this is a good place. If you haven't been to an altar in a long time, you need forgiveness. Something I learned is I sin when I don't even know I'm sinning, and God points it out to me as I read my Bible down the road. Then I have to go and confess it then. But if you haven't been to the altar for forgiveness, we're only deceiving ourselves. The Bible says if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. For a person to think they don't sin, they somehow or another deceive themselves, and there's no way that can happen. We all need forgiveness. Now look, I'm not trying to guilt you. I'm trying to help you to get forgiveness. No, you don't bargain for forgiveness. You don't cut deals with God. It's not like, God, okay, you know, I'm going to be a really good boy next week now. And Lord, I know I messed up last week. I'll be really good. And I just know you'll somehow overlook that. I had a guy this recently, an officer, I was sitting at a lunch and you know, try to witness officers and help them and work with them. So I was sitting at a lunch with an officer, and he said this to me. He says, you know, I just really hope that, you know, my doing good things, that when I get up there, he said, that God will just kind of overlook the bad. So what he's trying to do is balance the scales out. You know what I'm saying? So let's put all the good things on one side. And I said, look, it's not that complicated. You just have to admit you're wrong. And he'll forgive you right where you are. He couldn't grasp that. You know why? Because the flesh repels that. We don't like that. Because by me admitting I'm wrong, that's somehow or another attack on my pride. No, you know what it is? It's just simply saying this, God, you're right, I'm wrong. That's the grace of God. God wants to forgive every person here. I close with this. If you remember the story, and you, I'm sure you do quite well. Do you realize that Joseph was sold into slavery by his own brothers? That's a horrible thing. I can't imagine selling my brother into slavery. He sold his brothers into slavery, and the Bible said that they sold him, and basically they left him for dead and went back and lied to their dad. You know the story, pretty much most of you do. Because they were jealous of Joseph, because Joseph had said that he was going to be a leader over them, and when they did that, they did not see Joseph for many years. But through the years, God blessed Joseph, and he did indeed become the leader in Egypt. And for 19 years, his brothers carried the guilt of what they'd done to their own brother. For 19 years. If you remember that when their father had died, and right at the end of the story, if you remember Genesis chapter 15, or 50 rather, you get down to verse 14, 15, 16, Joseph now is going to confront the brothers. And they all thought they were going to die. And they were afraid. What put that fear in them? What was it that caused them to feel that way? I'll tell you what it was. It was guilt because they had wronged their brother. They carried it for 19 years. And you know how quickly that was restored? Joseph said these words, "Ye thought it for bad, God meant it for good." How could he have said that? Because I think all those years while he was sitting in jail, he'd already forgiven his brothers. What's the point? The point is this: don't carry unconfessed sin. Don't carry the burden and the guilt of sin in your life day in and day out, week in and week out, month in and month out, year in and year out, when all we have to do is go to God and He'll forgive. Why do we carry it? We're miserable. And David says, "Oh, dear God, I've been miserable for over a year. Lord, I've done wrong. Please forgive me. Give me the joy of thy salvation once again. Renew a right spirit within me. Blot out all my transgressions." And guess what? God did it for him. And he'll do it for us. And I pray that you'll come today and do what God says. Heavenly Father,